Chapter 15. Scourge knew that Nyrus was watching him carefully. For the past week, ever since she had told him the truth about Zedrix, he had felt her presence constantly. He had promised not to act on his knowledge until he saw Nathema for himself, and he intended to keep that promise. He knew she didn't trust him, and he knew she'd try to kill him if she felt threatened, and also that she was powerful enough to have a good chance of succeeding. But he had his own reasons for obeying. He was curious about what she had told him. He wanted to know more about the Emperor's mysterious past. And if it turned out that Nyrus was telling the truth, if the Emperor really was mad enough to start another war with the Republic, then maybe Scourge should consider taking her side. Now the day of reckoning was here. Nyrus had come for him early, waking him with a subtle whisper in his ear.
"It's time."
He dressed quickly, then followed her out to the spaceport, where a private shuttle was waiting for them. Unlike the rest of her fleet, this one bore neither her colors nor her crest. This journey would be conducted in utter secrecy. The shuttle was clearly built for speed. There was no armor to speak of, and at first glance it was easy to miss the single blaster turret mounted under the cockpit. Scourge was no expert on starship weaponry, but he guessed it would only be effective at close range. The interior was more functional than luxurious, with room to seat six. On this trip, he and Nyrus would be the only passengers. She settled into the pilot's chair, her fingers moving rapidly over the controls with a dexterity that belied their gnarled, wrinkled appearance. Neither of them spoke as the shuttle took to the sky, climbing rapidly through the clouds and lightning until it broke free of the atmosphere. Nyrus made a few more adjustments and punched in the route, and the ship jumped into hyperspace, leaving Droman Koss and Nyrus's loyal followers behind.
"Nothing I tell you can prepare you for what you will see on Nathema," Nyrus warned him. "But I will tell you the history of the Emperor and his homeworld."
"How can I know you're telling the truth?"
She shrugged.
"Believe it or not as you see fit. If nothing else, it will help pass the time."
She settled herself more comfortably, and as she spoke, her voice took on the sing-song tone of a children's storyteller.
"The Emperor's name was Tenebri," she began. "They say he was born with eyes as black as the void of empty space, and that he never cried, even as an infant. No animal would come near him, and when he began to talk, his voice carried a weight and power that should not come from a child. At the age of six, he began to manifest signs of the Force, marking him as one of the ruling elite. But his parents were simple farmers, and the Force was not strong in them. Suspicious about the boy's power, his father confronted his mother, who admitted to having an affair with the Sith Lord who ruled over them. The father flew into a rage, attacking the boy's mother. Tenebrae stopped him, feeding on his father's anger and hate to call upon the dark side. He snapped his father's neck with a mere thought, killing him instantly. His mother died more slowly. Tenebrae made her suffer for months as punishment for betraying the family, torturing her with the Force as he honed his powers. Now orphaned by his own hand, he made the others in his village bow down to him. Those who refused, he tortured and killed through the Force. Over the next few years, his reputation and influence spread to nearby villages, and he amassed legions of both fanatical and terrified followers. He killed thousands during his rise to power. Many died just to feed his insatiable appetite for suffering, tortured for days in public executions so he could savor their agonizing ends.